atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It is April 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. And the goal is to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country. This is Hour 202, and hard-hitting talk continues now. Kirk Crosby, we talked about this before, but I think you've got an update for us. Stanford doctor, quote, five reasons to stop panic. End total isolation. Officials are ignoring empirical evidence. Fundamental principles of biology, sir.
Well, in the, you know, the key thing here, at least to me, if it's bad news, they just keep going over it, over it, over it, over and over, and covering it over. And yet, here's some good news, in my opinion. It's a WorldNet Daily piece, and we've,
well,
like
you love
said,
Fauci. It's bad news, Kurt.
Well, whether you're Fauci or anybody else, you should be an advocate for the truth. And you should be looking everywhere to find it. And when you find it, you should embrace it. And the WorldNet Daily Boys bring this piece. Like you said, it's a Stanford doctor. It's not like a, you know, a University of White Supremacists or something like that, you know. It's a Stanford doctor. And he's got five reasons to stop the panic and to end the total isolation. And the subheadline says, officials ignoring empirical evidence. That means, you know, that's some science stuff. And it says, fundamental principles of biology. So, once again, yeah, it's kind of sad to me that there are people, even in our close inner circles, that, hey, if you present them with the facts, frankly, they just don't want to hear it, Sam. And the sad thing is, it goes against the way people have been, I guess you could say, brainwashed. And, you know, it's kind of scary for them to have to jump out of the standard thinking zone. I mean, it kind of was for us when we first did it, but it was a long time ago. And it's, you know, that part in the scriptures where it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, it fits in so many ways, doesn't it?
Couldn't agree more. Just imagine if this doctrine, I don't have his name in front of me right now, but just imagine a two-hour special guest Liberty Roundtable live broadcast. Guests, President Donald John Trump, and then the Stanford doctor with all his credentials. And just imagine a conversation. And, you know, I'm just kind of playing, you know, in and out of the break guy, asking a couple of questions myself and letting these two gentlemen rock and roll. Just imagine what kind of education could be there, Curtin. You wouldn't be having the clown media there just doing stupid stuff. And you wouldn't have spent days and days and days just defending yourself from just completely bogus claims. They know their claims are bogus, Kurt. They just don't want to talk about anything of substance. OK, and just imagine we just short circuit that whole cycle. And we just let it rip. Long-form programming where the president can explain himself and ask the questions that he wants to ask these medical professionals, and where he can literally, you know, think and brainstorm and not be manipulated out of context. And just imagine what kind of, and even if you want, throw Liberty Roundtable out of it and say, get a real professional to do it. Fine. I'm just telling you, what an opportunity. I really pray the president is listening, Kurt, and I hope he'll really consider either doing a talk show himself and or going on a bunch of talk shows. And I personally think going on a bunch of talk shows is even a better plan, because you have instant audiences, number one. Number two, you bolster guys like me who could use, you know, some star-studded guests to bring attention to what we're doing. But most importantly, then you don't have all the prep work. You can just simply lay it down and go on 20 talk shows, 20 minutes a piece. And, you know, wow, you've really done that. You do that two or three times a week with updates. And just cycle through all the incredible shows that are, even if once in a while we disagree with Trump, we're not attacking Trump. Okay? And just imagine how much coverage could be done, how much you could strengthen these talk show hosts and their listenerships, how much you could get out the word and have open, long-form conversations. I mean, I just think it could be a tremendous thing. Anyway, I commend the doctor for standing up, Kurt.
And his name, by the way, is Scott W. Atlas.
Yeah, okay. So that's the guy we talked about yesterday. Doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And just imagine if Dr. Atlas was on with us and the President of the United States talking about, hey, this idea that we have five reasons to stop the panic and we really need to end the total isolation. And we need to realize that these people are simply ignoring principles of biology. That's what I mean by, look, I'm not even a medical professional, but I try to stick with the principles and the laws of Earth and stuff like that. And this is what I mean. This doctor's right on. Why can't we have President Trump and Dr. Atlas showing up together, Kurt? I mean, I don't think you'd
be
stepping back.
Yep.
You'd be going, at least, here's another point of view.
Yep. And, you know, the key thing to remember is, as you've always taught us, he who owns the media makes the rules, and they want to promote, if it bleeds, it leads, and panic kind of press. And so, you know, he says in his article, or in his, I guess it was an interview with The Hill, and he pointed to a recent Stanford study. It's an antibody study that estimates the fatality rate if infected with the coronavirus is likely 0.1% to 0.2%.
And by the way, that's the same that these two independent California doctors doubled down and denoted in their research as well, Kurt.
Yeah, the World Health Organization estimate of 3.4%, it prompted, you know, I mean, that's 20 to 30 times higher. So they were off, you know, and they were wrong. And yet, you know, you get people that continue to go with that and to believe those numbers. And no wonder they get worried.
Yeah. Stay away from those French-made respirators, folks. They're 85% non-effective. Defective, I guess, is the way they say it. All right, Nick Taylor's in the news. Who the heck is Nick Taylor, Kurt?
So Nick Taylor, let's see if I can find Nick Taylor. I assume it's in that same group of stories.
Let me see. 0427, buddy.
Yeah, let's see. If
as close to as modern stories as you've given me, you know. I wish you'd give me the 28th stories before the 28th broadcast, but that's another topic, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Anyway, Nick Taylor defies state order. Quote, I'm opening my doors come hell or high water, he says. Offers what, internal vaccinations?
If I remember right.
He wants to do
I don't see it.
Chivas Regal Kentucky or Kentucky Bourbon there, Kurt. He wants to, you know. This guy?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, so he's a New York City tailor. And it's not Nick Taylor. He's NYC stands for New York City Tailor. And the guy is basically, you know, saying that, you know,
this guy's not Nick Taylor.
He's defying.
Huh?
No, it's under the WorldNet Daily Life with Big Brother section.
Yeah.
And he's a tailor there, and he defying the state order. He says, I'm opening my doors come H-E double toothpicks or high water. So in other words,
that's called hell, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. He's offering internal vaccinations, says Chivas Regal Kentucky Bourbon. Bottom line is he's a business that is feeling like, hey, man, if this keeps up, I'm gone. And he's right.
Well, I don't know what you mean right, Kurt. What would the president say?
What I mean is he's gone if there's no more business for him, and there's a lot of businesses that are going to be out of business.
Would the president let him defy the Cuomo New York lockdown? What would the president say about that, you know? See, I'd like to ask the president about that. What do you think of this New York tailor, this guy that's defying the deal? Is it cool? Because he's pretty mad at this Georgia governor. What's that guy's name, Kurt?
I don't think he's really mad at him. I think
he's having a big old argument in the media with him.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know what to think about that. I just find it very strange. I think the governor is doing quite a good job, Kurt, in opening up society. I'd have to look up the governor. What's the governor's name in New York? Of Georgia?
If I remember right, it's Kemp.
Yeah, so it's not Jack Kemp either, right?
I don't think so.
Anyway, Kemp and the president a little bit at odds on this thing. I kind of go with Kemp on that one personally. because I don't think they have a right to shut us all down and close us.
Brian Kemp,
yeah. I don't think they have a right to. Just type in Kemp and Trump and see what you get. What's the stories you see, Kurt, when you do that? Kemp, space, Trump. And I'd be interested to see what kind of pops
up. If I remember right, this is the governor down there who he did some crazy stuff a while back. There was a replacement for a senator that should have been, you know, a particular one that the president wanted or whatever, and he chose somebody else who just gave him a big old donation or whatever.
Which I'm not fond of, but it has nothing to do with this point, right?
Well, I mean, it would be part of the relationship between the president and the governor, right?
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't care about relationships. I want to open up the country if it's right to open it up, and I want to, you know, be on that bandwagon. I don't defend Kemp putting a senator in there or whatever just because he got a big old ripping donation. I don't defend that at all. See, that's why I focus on we got to just talk about principle. You know, I don't want to talk about
it. The headline from The Hill says, Georgia governor says he and president share a common goal after Trump criticized reopening.
Again, I agree with Kemp.
Yeah.
I agree with the common goal. And I'm glad that Kemp's not taking the bait so much. That's good, I think. All right, Cutting Edge. Is that a hair salon, Kurt?
I think it is, Sam, but in this case, well, yeah, it's a Western Journal piece that says, hair salon owner rebels against stay-at-home orders, opens to public. Well, all this little rebellion going across American people trying to, you know, work and make a living. I mean, they got to stop this quick, huh?
Yeah. By the way, that story Kurt focused on was the second one down in the list. Pretty good news.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk. New York City tailor defies state order. I'm opening my doors, come hell or high water, he says. Offers internal vaccinations. I don't know what that means. I guess Kentucky bourbon, is that what it is? You come have a drink and get a suit tailored or what? How does that work?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a what you'd call maybe another reason to do business with him, or in my case, a reason not to do business. But there's, it's part of freedom in America. You know, there's a little more detail on the Trump, the President Trump, Brian Kemp thing that I thought was interesting with the Hill down in the story. You know, and they the standard media that wants to downplay and beat up the president and tear
any. I don't want to downplay and beat up the president, but I do want to highlight when he's going after Kemp.
I didn't
say
you did, Sam. I'm going to try to you know, say something here, but if you interrupt me, I won't get a chance.
But I want to make it clear, though, that you know what? This guy, Trump, is literally beating up people that are trying to do the right thing. And President Trump's got to stop. That's the point. No one's beating him up, but he's got to stop. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm trying to explain that that's not what happened, Sam, but that's what the media says that happened.
Yeah, tell us what happened, Kurt.
Okay, in the Hill story, if you read down in there, it says that he got a call. He says,
who's he?
I said that Brian Kemp,
okay,
the
governor
of Georgia, got a call. I said, You make your own decision. This is what President Trump said.
You got a call from who, Kurt? Trump?
Yeah, this is a call between the two people.
Okay, so the governor got a call from President Trump. Go ahead.
He said, President Trump said, I said, you make your own decision. I told him that. I said, you're not on the guidelines, but I'm letting you make your own decision. But I want people to be safe, and I want the people in Georgia to be safe. And I don't want this thing to flare up because you're deciding to do something that's not in the guidelines. And that, to me, where the governor says, look, the president and I are on the same path forward, where the governor said... He called it that the president's insight and advice, not he didn't call it criticism. He called it insight and advice. And to me, when you read that stuff in there and see what, you know, the president said, I don't see, you know, what the big hullabaloo is about. But I also see this down in the story that is kind of interesting to me, where the Hill people said that Trump appeared to back away from his hesitance towards the reopening on public spaces, however, reportedly telling governors on the conference call to consider reopening schools as well. Quote, some of you might start thinking about school openings because a lot of people are wanting to have the school openings. It's not a big subject. Young children have done very well in this disaster that we've all gone through. That's what he said.
Yeah, this is another call that the president's on. So you're talking about two different phone calls, one with Kemp exclusively, and then another one with a group of governors, right?
Right. That's the way I understand.
Yeah, and I think those are good comments, and I think it's very kind of Kemp to say we're on the same path, and I agree that President Trump wants to open the country, and so does Kemp, and I think they're on the same page. I do think the media exploits a lot and magnifies a lot of what Trump does and says in a negative way. I hold the media responsible to some degree, too, but it's what President Trump said to the media outside of those phone calls that the debate's about, Kurt. That's the difference in the problem. And when you say you want to give exactly what happened, okay, I don't know if that's exactly the transcript of the phone call or not, because we're looking at the mainstream press for a transcript of what was said, which concerns me. Nevertheless, here's what I would say. When the president says, you know what, I advise against this, you're going against my guidelines, but I'll let you do this. No offense, but who does the president think he is? He'll let the governor in a sovereign state do something? See, in there is kind of the part of the rub, right, about who's in charge where. And President Trump has really put these guidelines down, and he hasn't shut people down. But yet, if they go against the guidelines, there's heck to pay in many cases. And that's kind of the problem that we have here with this discussion. I'm glad that they're working together and that they both want to open the country, though. I think that's great news, and I'm glad for the Hill to clarify those details. I just call it as I see it. And I try to focus on principle. And the principle is, in my mind, when the president says he's going to let the governor do something, I appreciate him letting him do it. But who's in charge of who where? It's kind of the question, right? All right, so this hair salon people, rebels against stay-at-home orders, opens to public. Is that different than the Taylor guy, Kurt? This hair salon people?
Well, they're two different things. One's a hair salon, and the other one's a tailor. Yeah.
Where's the hair salon?
But they're connected, if you ask me.
Yes, sir, they are.
In other words, that I think you're seeing this kind of thing happen pretty much everywhere.
Where's the hair salon?
So the governors, I'm looking it up, but the governors are smart to basically say, hey, we don't need to keep these people all locked down, and they're smart to, you know, quit doing that.
I agree.
In this case, it's Dallas County Judge, let's see.
Dallas County, Texas?
It's a Dallas hair salon, Salon à la Mode.
So in Texas, okay.
I guess a Dallas County Judge, Clay Jenkins, sent a cease and desist letter to this salon operator and said that despite the threat of being fined, she'll not close her place, according to WFAA. She said, I'm not closing, she told KDFW, because all of the small business owners need to have some sort of voice, and we need to stand up for what's right, or we'll continue to get our freedom taken away. So anyway, she was, you know, threatened, I guess. She said, have you ever heard of the right of assemble? Well, it's right to assemble, but anyway, but the right to work, the right to pursue happiness. And I don't appreciate the long arm of the government telling the blue collar workers that we can't work. Anyway, so there's more and more of this.
Yeah, there's people doing good things, and, you know, I applaud their efforts, and I get their need. I understand it. In fact, even Ted Cruz is trying to jump on the bandwagon, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, the headline reads, we have spent more than enough on coronavirus funding. We need to give this money some time to be spent. Anyway, at least I guess he's pointing out that it's really not. I mean, number one, he's saying that we spent too much. You know, he says more than enough. That's another.
Yeah, one penny is too much in my mind, Kate.
Right. You know, we need to give this whole thing time to run its course, I guess. But, you know, at least somebody says we spent too much.
Yeah, Rand Paul's been saying that for quite a while. I appreciate Ted Cruz jumping on the Rand Paul bandwagon. Good for you, Ted. And I think Ted's right, and I think that Rand Paul's right, and I think that we have spent too much. I've been saying that for quite some time, and I've been kind of attacked quite a bit for it, but I think that any penny spending too much, it isn't theirs to give, and it isn't theirs to shut down the economy either and force me to depend on it, which is kind of what's happening too. And, you know, there you have it. All right, millions of now, quote, unemployed Americans are making more money than they did before they were working, Kurt. How's the economy going to get back to normal if more than 40% of the workforce is doing better off at home on the dole, Kurt?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main problems with this, what they passed. And they brought it up at the time, but apparently the, you know, a little bit more, the more enthusiastic swamp monsters or whatever included this into the bill that says that, hey, if you're on unemployment, you're going to get more money than you would have gotten normally working, which is kind of a, you know, math problem, because somebody's going to say, man, why would I work if I get more money for not working? But anyway, that's the government's famous for doing stuff like this. You know, it's like the farmer who is not raising hogs. You know, he gets a lot of money for that. And we've seen it before. But that's what it says. Millions. This is a WorldNet Daily piece, by the way. Millions of now unemployed Americans are making more money than they did when working. How is economy supposed to get back to normal if more than 40% of the workforce would be better off at home? And it's a very good point, I think, Sam.
Man, it's a great point, man. I've been bringing it up for a long time. I'm glad all these people see it that way. I just wish they would have saw it that way before they spent all the cash. But, hey, I'm glad they're on it now, and hopefully we don't spend a bunch more. At least someone's coming to their senses. I'll tell you that right now. All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. We want to go to Election 2020 on your radio. We'll be right back.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been, exposed to it, and maybe that's a bad word here, but there's some new revelations that have to do with the potential nominee for the Democratic Party, Joe Biden. There's a lady that, in my opinion, is very credible with her accusations that has come forward. And yet the standard media, or the New York Times and that crowd that is supposed to be, at least I think that they're supporting Joe Biden, or as the president calls him, Sleepy Joe. Anyway, here's a couple of headlines that have to do with this. One, they're both from WorldNet Daily. One says, I want the same equal treatment. Biden sex accuser scorches media, Dems, women's groups. Their campaign didn't have their hands up my skirt, it says. Then you've got 1993 CNN clip of Biden's accuser's mom calling Larry King vanishes from Google Play catalog. Network spokesman says accusation the video is taken down is total BS.
Well, then if the video is not taken down and it's BS, why don't they just release the video, Kurt?
That's what I thought you might want to bring up.
So. I'm just saying, if it's bogus and they didn't mean to, then put it back on there. If that's something missing by mistake or a legitimate error, fine. We're not here to attack you over it. Why don't you just go ahead and put it back on Google Play or upload it originally to Google Play if it was never there, or put it up available somewhere else where we can all check it out. If there's nothing to hide and there was no, nothing nefarious going on like some people are claiming, then you would simply restore it and move on, wouldn't you, Kurt? You'd just be like, oh my goodness, good point. Here it is. Next.
Right, and yet we've seen this in our, I guess you could say media lifetimes. We've watched as, Jimmy Carter was made into a, household name by people like Time Magazine back then. And then you had Bill Clinton, who, was a beneficiary of a CBS special treatment that helped him, walk on into the White House. And so you have, the power of the media. And there are at least two sides to every one of these stories, if not more. But
yeah,
do you
want
to add anything more to the
Well, and Trump has these allegations
story.
Against him, too. And one of the girls wants to have some DNA samples, Kurt, against Trump. Now, the same thing about Biden, same thing about Clinton. Same thing about, this isn't anything new, and it's a sad tale. And when they've literally done these kind of things to people without their consent, they're wrong. It's evil. It's wrong. But there is two sides to the story, as you wisely point out, and sometimes these women have responsibility too. If you got a man inviting you to a hotel room and you're single and or married or whatever, and you're going to go there alone, you should know that's not really the place that you should meet for a business deal, Kurt. And so I'm not saying that the women deserve it. I'm not saying that they're at fault. Okay. But I am saying that there is responsibility and wisdom in making decisions. If you're going to do a business deal and you're going to become some actress for some big movie guy, or you're going to get with some politician or whatever else, hey, I wouldn't be alone with the guy. And I wouldn't be going to hotel rooms or anything else. And Mike Pence has set the standard. And what's interesting to me about this is all these people that complain about all these circumstances, then they mock Mike Pence. Mike Pence says, I'm not going to be alone with a woman. I'm going to have my wife present. You know what? I bet you Mike Pence isn't going to have a problem with this, is he? Okay, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, Kurt. And I think it's poignant to really dig in and highlight when it's right, when it's wrong, what the solutions are, etc. This lady basically says, I want the same equal treatment. Okay, and she basically scorches the media, the Democrats. She's right, Kurt. She's right. If we're going to say we're going to take allegations seriously, then my response is, let's take the allegations seriously, but let's double down and find evidence. And when we have a specific, you know, videos deleted from places, and then, you know, that adds to the controversy, it just doesn't build trust. There's a way to get to the truth and to find out the answers and have accountability for this. And I think that needs to be done no matter who the parties are. All right. Did you see that the Marine Corps, Kurt?
By the way, yeah. I was just going to say thanks for bringing up Mike Pence, I believe. And that is a key part of that picture and that story. And yet it's not really talked about. And yet you brought it up. And so hats off to you. That's
yeah. And Mike
good.
Pence is doing what's right. And they just mocked the poor guy. I think he's spot on right. And then you look at a Bill Clinton and a Joe Biden and everybody's like, oh, no big deal. No harm, no foul. Then you look at Trump and they attack him relentlessly for it. Now, don't get me wrong. If Trump's guilty, he deserves to be attacked.
Yeah, and I'm
but
sure
let's
that
have fair on both sides.
That's right. And I'm sure if the president, if you, you know, ask him specifically, that he would say, hey, I've heard him even say this. I've made mistakes and that kind of thing. But yet, you know, as to the same kind of thing, you know, when you compare him to, it's rough to compare him to Bill Clinton and to Joe Biden. But to me, I think they're worse. Now, I'm not saying that the president's perfect. I'm simply saying, as compared to what has been accused and that kind of thing, that's, you know, quite, it's different. It's not as good. Certainly, the president's not as good as Mike Pence and or other great leaders we've seen in the past who've been faithful to their wives. And, you know, they do things to make sure that they don't cross those bounds. And that's what we need to highlight.
Amen. We also need to highlight, too, I don't know which is worse or better. I wasn't there when any of these accusations were made and or events supposedly took place. I don't know which one was more hostile or which girl was more willing or which. I don't know any of those things. All I know is if they're doing it, it's wrong. And if they're not doing it and they're just being accused, that's evil and wrong. And the truth we should pursue in every case to the best of our ability the same. And you know what? So I'm not here to attack President Trump more than Biden or Biden more than Trump. I'm just here to say, hey, there's accusations against both of them. Let's do our best to ferret out the truth and move along. If it's true, let's have some accountability. If it's not true, then let's have accountability for the accusation makers, the false witnesses kind of thing. Let's just get to the truth. And then let's move forward and adopt the Mike Pence policy so this stuff doesn't happen anymore. But see, nobody talks about that either. All right, there you have it. And I agree with her. She deserves the same equal treatment. So does Paula, what is it? Paula Jones and
yep.
Kathleen Willie and who else is
yeah.
there? And Juanita Broderick. And, I mean, I can yeah. try to think of all the names, you know, Monica Lewinsky. All these poor girls have been wronged in many ways.
Right.
And there you have it. All right. The Marine Corps, Kurt, bans public displays of Confederate flag. Calls the flag, quote, divisive. You want to respond to this one, Kurt?
Well, it's pretty amazing how if you're, you know, some kind of a protester, say in St. Louis, you can start police cars on fire and they stand back and watch you and say, well, you just kind of let them, you know, let off steam and somebody, you know, gets a, you know, a Southern flag and that's like banned?
Yeah, and see, I don't look at the flag as super controversial and hate-filled. I just think it's the political-driven agenda that's hate-filled. I think the Confederate flag, you know, really calls for states' rights and Christian principles is to me what it stands for, Kurt, but that's just me.
Well, and the same people that are, you know, complaining about the Confederate flag would stand up for anybody's right to burn U.S.'s, you know, old glory, right, Sam? I mean,
yes, they'd also stand up for the rainbow flag and say, hey, we got to have this
right.
flag up. And, you know, see, and that's not controversial, see. It's just amazing. Anyway, I defend the Confederate flag, Kurt, and I defend the flag because I believe it means states' rights and Christianity and stand for our home and hearth. Even if you disagree with the reasons that people believed that, that's fine. But I do believe they genuinely, that's what their flag stood for. And I guess I would kind of come back and just take a step back and say, I'm not here to argue with the intent of someone's heart or the belief here. And, you know, I don't want to make the flag controversial. I want to say it represents a reality in history and a viewpoint in history that should not be forgotten, Kurt. And to me, that's kind
couldn't
of long
agree
and
more,
short of,
Sam. Yeah.
You know, even if I don't agree with everything that they may claim or think related to the flag, that doesn't matter.
Right.
All right. Divorced couple in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah. The nice thing about this divorce is it was only for a little bit of time, and it's the same couple. They, you know, remarried, you know, and hung together, helping each other.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word fight to 444-999. That's fight, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, usually the aftermath of a divorce is brutal, and I'm sure it wasn't pleasant in this case either, but, you know, after, a lot of times, you know, we hope for good news, right, Kurt?
Well, yes, Sam, and what's really unusual about this story is the Washington Post was the originator of it, or at least, you know, they did some interviews here, which, you know, I mean, it's kind of unusual. But these two people were married when one was 27, one was 20, at a church in Denmark back in 65. They were both artists. They started a business making pottery and raising four children. Then they faced some circumstances. One got cancer and almost died, and the other one left to care for the home, kids, and the business, focused on the most important. That was the children. The income went, you know, sideways or whatever. Life, you know, had some other troubles. Their home almost burned down. They lost everything. They told the Washington Post that, hey, or the couple's son told the Post, that was a hard blow, and there's a limit to how much people can take and how much hardship they can endure, is what they said. And they decided to part ways. That was in 89. They were officially divorced, and they lived apart for 2 years. So apparently then they, you know, I guess I wouldn't say shacked up, but they went back to be together.
Hold on. If they were divorced, they shacked up, right?
That's right. But, you know, all I'm saying is they were married before and they, you know, came back together to help each other out as well. They experienced some more health issues.
By the way, we're celebrating the coming together to help each other out part. We're just not celebrating the shack up part.
Yeah, but in the end, you'll see that they this, as it came here to March of this year, the one that's 82 years old now, finally got down on one knee and asked the love of his life to marry him again. He said, even in my old age, I managed to get back on my feet again after kneeling down. This time there weren't any crowds. A couple went back to the same church. 55 years after the first ceremony, they had no priest but no one there but the priest and the one sister and brother-in-law were there. Their children, everybody was participating via Zoom conference. And, they had a good time, and they shared some photos, and now they're back officially remarried, Sam. So that was.
And I believe a lot of divorces, you know, after people get divorced, oftentimes they regret it, Kurt, or they say, I thought the grass would be greener, and it's not, and things are harder than I expected. And I'm not saying that there's never a justification for divorce. Sometimes if there's abuse or, unyielding behavior that's evil, you know, you need some safety, and I get that. But I believe most divorces, people wish they didn't have them. And most divorces, if you power through, you're much, much better off for the children, for each other, for finances. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Most of the time, what needs to happen is people need to take a step back and kind of humble themselves. And instead of saying all these things are wrong with my spouse, they ought to say, what can I do to be a better spouse? And I don't know everything about it, Kurt, but that's just a little bit of my take. And I commend this couple for powering through and having the humility to work through it and come back together. And I think that, you know, the moral of the story is, if you've been divorced, maybe there's a way to work it out. Or maybe you would think a divorce before it happens and say, you know, maybe there's a better route for us. And there's a lot of Christian movies about this, too, that talk about this. What's that one called? Fireproof. And a few others that really, in my opinion, highlight this point about what it takes to become the right marriage partner. Kurt?
Good point. And the Western Journal's writing this piece, but they are highlighting that part of it came from the Washington Post. At the end of the Western Journal piece, and I doubt the Post did it this way, but they might have, they said, they were talking about the Sun, and it says their story made it to the Washington Post. It continues to be the most romantic and wonderful story about true love overcoming adversity, especially in that family's situation. It says, remember to love, especially when times are hard. For the happily married couple, the decision was a natural one. We simply cannot live without each other. The man said as he gazed upon his wife, I couldn't find myself without her. So anyway, that's stuff that I thought was, worth highlighting.
It's worthy of our time, and it's worthy of the thought process and the conclusions that can come from it, and the hope that comes from it, and the encouragement that comes from it. I mean, the list just doesn't end, in my opinion. And sadly, because of the coronavirus, there wasn't as many people at the wedding as there could have been. But, hey, they made the best of it, and they, I'm sure, are happy, Kurt. All right, now this woman was warned, Kurt. She got a warning, I guess, huh?
Let's see. Yeah, the headline from Western Journal, Christine Favocci, I guess is how you say it. Woman warned not to return to store wearing her incredible pro-life shirt. Basically, her pro-life shirt says something like, don't women's rights begin in the womb? So in other words, that's a baby. That's a woman, as well, right, Sam?
Yeah, but if they can't abort her baby, they're going to abort her from the store, aren't they, Kurt?
Great point.
You know, what a deal. What the heck's going on around here?
Well,
where's the pro-choice folks to just back her choice, Kurt?
Yeah, good point. You don't see it much.
No, I guess they're all hanging out with the folks that won't take this other woman accusing Biden seriously.
That's right.
Good They're
point.
Just too busy with that kind of deal. Anyway, what do you think, Kurt? you think we ought to find out what store that is and send 1,000 pro-life people in there with shirts on?
Well, I think it would be...
apropos.
Nice. You know, we'll... This lady's, yeah, her shirt says, "Women's rights begin in the womb." Her name was Alicia Krause. She caused quite a stir when she walked into the store, donning a pro-life T-shirt emblazoned with the message, "Women's rights begin in the womb."
And why is it a big controversy? Why don't we just chill and let her have it?
Yeah, slogan is simple, common sense statement affirming the right to life for female babies in the womb. Cleverly challenging the narrative that abortion is, you know, where they say it's a woman's right, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
A very good point.
What's the store? We got to tell people not to go there, Kurt. Either that or go in droves wearing T-shirts, you know.
Yeah, good point.
All right, Politico's in the news. Kurt wants to tell you about this one.
Let's see. Well, you know, apparently a little while back, they said that the president owed millions of dollars to China. And so it's supposed to, of course, put egg on his face or whatever. But Politico edits a false story claiming Trump owes millions to China. And the WorldNet Daily's piece says story is wrong on so many levels. So I don't know if you want to add more to this.
I would just say to WorldNet Daily, what do you expect out of Politico? I mean, come on. Isn't this kind of the age-old media discussion? I mean, they're always wrong on so many levels. They're not even interested in telling the story right, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
All right, city fines homeowner.
Let's see, city fines homeowner. Which one? Is that up or down? Trying to find that one there.
All right, city fines homeowner. $30,000. Yeah. For long grass. I guess the judge affirms a lawsuit that the man was busy handling his late mother's estate, so he couldn't really get to his lawn. And, you know, so what? Did he have to pay the 30 grand, Kurt?
You know, Sam, what I'm hoping is that the judge, you know, said, hey, you know, just take it easy, city. But imagine getting a bill from the city because you hadn't mowed your lawn for $30,000, Sam. That's kind of, I mean, you know, 30 bucks or, you know, kind of a, but this is in Florida. And a judge down there has rejected the city of Dunedin's motion to throw out a lawsuit over its fining of a homeowner's $500 a day for having long grass. So 500 bucks a day, I guess it was 60 days. Institute for Justice is defending him, faces this 30,000 fines or even foreclosure. Judge there denied the city's motion to dismiss his lawsuit, which argues the fines are excessive under both the U.S. and Florida constitutions. You think? No one, they say, should have to pay $30,000 for tall grass. but anyway, there you go, Sam. If you thought time was tough for you, imagine you
it is tough for me.
$30,000.
That's for
30,
sure.
$30,000 for tall grass. Well, that's why you got to mow your lawn.
And my problem with this whole story, though, is this. I don't care if it's $30,000 or $30. The question that I would have, Kurt, is whose property is it? And what gives the government the authority to literally fine this guy that kind of belligerent, outlandish money? Look, the government could have sent somebody over to mow it, Kurt, and charge him $20 to have it mowed or $30 to have it mowed or whatever. Now, I wouldn't even support that because it's his private property. But what I'm saying is that this is the problem with government. Even if you accept that they have authority in this situation, authority to do what? Fine you $30,000? I mean, you could have literally mowed the lawn, what, 100 times?
Quite a bit, Sam. I think a lot more than 100
1,000 times?
30 grand.
You know, I don't know. It depends on how much you want to charge.
But times 1,000, yeah, that would be a 30,000.
That'd be 1,000 times. You know, but you're doing government mowing, though, Kurt, so it might only be 100
that's
times,
right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, you got union government lawnmowers and all this stuff in the mix, and I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, but here's my point, though. If you really say you have the right to, you know, kind of a preeminent domain or whatever to decide on this property and all that stuff, even if you accept that, which I don't, you might come back and say, okay, we get it, that this guy, they're going to go mow this guy's lawn. He's kind of not there. He's okay, and we're going to do this. It's a hazard. It could create a fire. Okay, I don't even go there, but I get it. Go mow the lawn. Charge the guy $50 for the lawn mow. Fine. And move along. But $30,000 in this big old to-do, go to court and done. The poor guy's mom's, you know, the poor guy's dealing with his mom's past estate, and she's, you know, died, and he's trying to deal with all this stuff. Then you're just going to literally add insult to injury and find this guy $30,000. You know, why doesn't somebody in the community find a kid and say, hey, can this guy mow your lawn for $20? He really needs to save money for college or whatever. And you know, there's ways, people, that we can minister
the
to
attorney,
one
another. The attorney for the Institute for Justice that was helping him said, losing your home because you inadvertently let your grass get too long is the very definition of an excessive fine. Says no one should face crippling fines, let alone foreclosure, for trivial code violations. Dunedin's Code Enforcement Board operates like a nightmarish homeowners association, but as a public board, it cannot rule with an iron fist. Rather, it must abide by state laws as well as the state and federal
Well, that changed the state laws and simply rebel and don't obey those laws. You don't have to get belligerent and destroy people's livelihoods and people's homes and violate private property. Don't run around and tell me about the laws. You obliterate the whole intent of the law in the first place. It doesn't fly with people like me. It's bogus. There are solutions, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not more government, it's less. It's the proper role of limited constitutional government replete with checks and balances, and it's about us turning to God, family, and country every time, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.